Well, tonight we're going to study a while about the covenant that God made with David. We've spoken earlier about the covenant that God has made with Moses. Spoke last week about the covenant that God made with Abraham. And tonight we're going to go to another covenant that God made with David. To get a basis for this, let's go to the second book of Samuel, the 7th chapter, and we will read verses 12 through 17. That is 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 17. The Bible says, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I shall chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever, according to all these words and according to all the vision. So did Nathan speak unto David." Let's go to Heavenly Father in a word of prayer, and then we'll talk about the covenant that God made with David. The question we need to start off with tonight is, what is the covenant that God made with David? Well, we read about it here in 2 Samuel 7, and really we could actually start in the first verse as we read down through the 17th to find out the covenant that God made with David. The covenant that God made with David was that God promised to David through Nathan the prophet. It is found in 2 Samuel 7. It is again summarized in the first book of Chronicles, chapter 17. But it is an unconditional covenant that was made between God and David, in which God promises David and Israel that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come from the lineage or from the genealogy of David, and that the tribe of Judah would establish a kingdom that would endure forever. It is an unconditional covenant that God has made with David, because God did not place any conditions upon David of obedience so that it would be fulfilled. So it would rest solely upon the faithfulness of God. It did not depend upon David, and it did not depend upon Israel and anything that they would do. Now, when Abraham, the covenant that God made with Abraham, Abraham had to do something. He was forced to take care of business until God's time was ready. But in the case of the one with David, it was completely on the shoulders of God, and it required nothing from David or from the Israelites. There were several key promises that were made in the covenant that he made with David. And it began with the first promise, and that was this reaffirmed the promise of the land that would be given to the children of Israel. This is something that is consistent both with the covenant that was made with Moses and also the covenant that was made with Abraham, in that God promised that through the seed of Abraham, through the Israelites, that there would be land given for them, an inheritance where they could live, so that they would have their own home, where they would not be disturbed, and wicked people would not be able to oppose them. And as long as the Israelites obeyed the commandments of God, God was with them, and he protected them. So as this covenant is made with David, this first provision is also included as it was with the covenants made earlier. But there was a second promise that God made to David that he did not make to the others. And that was the fact that David would have a son, that God would bless him with a son, that this son Solomon then would succeed David to be the king of the nation of Israel, and that the son Solomon was to be given a special purpose, and that was to make the temple, to build the temple, to erect the temple as a monument unto God. He said in 2 Samuel 7, "I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one that will build my house in my name." But there was a third promise that was also made to David when God fulfilled this commandment, this covenant with him, where God says that the promise continues and the promise expands. He said in verse 13, "I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever. Your throne will be established forever." And what began with the promise that David was made by God of the land for the Israelites, of his kingship, for his son as successor to the throne, now turns into a tremendously important magnificent covenant that God says, I will through you give you an everlasting kingdom. There will be another son of yours, David, that will rule forever and will build an everlasting house. And of course, he is speaking in reference to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, that in fact in Matthew 21 and 9 was referred to as the Messiah, as the son of David. So there's three parts to this covenant that was established by God with David. I'm going to give you a place for the people of Israel to live where you will prosper and where you will be protected as long as you obey me. I'm going to give you a son that will build a monument, a temple in my name, and through you, David, will the world be blessed with the Messiah. The promise is referred to as David's house, as his kingdom, as his throne, and that it would be established forever. And all of these points are significant. The Messiah will come from the lineage of David, and he will establish a kingdom from which he will reign. When we speak of the word house, as he speaks to David, he's speaking of a dynasty that will be made in the lineage or the genealogy of David. A kingdom. These are people that will be governed voluntarily by a king. Throne, emphasizing the authority of the rule that Jesus would have over his people. And forever, of course, emphasizing the eternal and the unconditional nature of the promise that God made to David. An unconditional covenant that required nothing of David, required nothing of the Israelites, but this is a covenant that God made to honor David. And through the lineage of David would come the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King of Eternity, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, that is referred to in Holy Scripture as the Son of David. And that's the covenant that God made with David. But now let me tell you the rest of the story. And this is a very interesting little story. It's a covenant between God and David. It started, the whole thing started, this entire covenant started because David lived in a fine, magnificent cedar house. And it was a very fine house at this time. And it was the greatest in the kingdom. And David lived like the king that he was in this fine cedar house. And as David lived in this fine cedar house, he began to think and to study about this. I live in this fine cedar house, and yet God, the creator of all, lives in tents, and he lives amongst the people. And David didn't see the fairness in this, and he couldn't understand why the creator of all humanity would live in a tent, and yet he, as the king of the Israelites, would live in a house. So David came up with a plan. I am going to build a monument to God. I am going to build a temple to God that will be magnificent beyond belief. And this is where we will house, and this is where God will be able to live. He wanted to honor God to the point that he was willing to give everything he had to build this magnificent temple to Almighty God. Of course, God lived amongst the people in tents ever since he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. It was all God wanted. God was satisfied with this. But when through the prophet Nathan, whom David was speaking to, when the prophet Nathan and God understood what David wanted to do, I don't know that he'd even thought about it before. It was not something that was important in God's mind. He had lived in the tent. He was the God. He took care of his people. I think God was satisfied. But yet when he realized that David had this intention to build this magnificent temple, this monument for the Almighty God, I think God was very appreciative of David. And I think he was very, I think there was a great feeling here that God had toward David because he realized the intent that David had and the sincerity that David had that he wanted to build him a house which would be worthy of the honor of God. And you know, God always honors people that honor him. And so David, God made a covenant with David. Now God did not tell David just an outright, no, I'm not going to let you build a house. But he did tell David, no, you can't build me the house. But God explained it to David. David, you've been a man of war. You've got blood on your hands. You have slain many people as the king. And God said, I don't want you, a man with blood on his hands. I don't want a man of war to build me a temple to honor me. And so God would not allow David to build the temple that he wanted to build. But God still gave him something, and probably gave him more. Well, I know he gave him more than he ever thought about. But God was very fair, and he was very kind with David. He said, no, you can't build my temple because you have blood on your hands. But David, here is a job that I am going to give you. I'm going to let you prepare the way for the kingdom to be built. David was then given the job of making all of the necessary preparations for this magnificent temple that was to be built. God gave David a mission, and David took this mission as very important, and he dedicated himself to the gathering of the materials so that the temple might be built. David began to look for the materials. He began to stockpile the material, the rock, and the gold and the silver. He began to bring the money about that would be required to build the temple. He began to make the plans. He did the architectural plans. He began to draw up the plans. He knew what he wanted, and all the preparations for the temple, David in earnest began to plan. This was a preparatory work that possibly does not stand with us as being as important as the one that actually erects. But this is what David was given to do, and he took this on with great gusto. You know, the man that goes out and clears the field and plows the field and plants the fruit and waters the fruit and weeds the fruit is never given really the proper respect that he has. But the individual that is able to go out and gather the fruit and have the fruit and be the farmer that is able to do all the gathering, this man is held in a higher esteem. And that's where David was here. God said, you're not going to be able to build a temple because you're not worthy of it, because you have blood on your hands. But he said, I've got a big job for you, David. I've got a big job for you. You need to get everything prepared so that when your son comes along, he will be able to take everything you have done, and all he has to do is to erect the temple. This preparatory work possibly is sometimes misrepresented and maybe misunderstood. You know, the John the Baptist, who the Bible tells us is above all the prophets, never really did anything himself. John the Baptist was sent into the world with one purpose. And when John the Baptist was gone, when we asked what did John the Baptist do, there was only one thing that John the Baptist did. He did nothing great on his own, but he prepared the world for Christ. He made the path straight for Jesus Christ. His entire mission in life, his entire life work, was a mission to prepare the world for Christ. And then when Christ came upon the scene, everything was set and Christ was able to do the job that he had been sent. And that's the same thing with David. David wasn't allowed to build it, but David did all of the legwork. He did all of the hard work. He did all of, we would say, the heavy lifting. He got everything ready so that when the time was right and his son was right, then all Solomon had to do was build the temple. You know, David was also given another job to do and another mission, and he also took this on with gusto. There was a greater work for the needs of the nation and for the church and for us today that David did that no one else was able to do. God allowed David to write the book of Psalms. God allowed David to write the songs that the people would sing, that the people would work, that people would understand. And as they worked and in their travels and all of the many different things, they sung the Psalms of David. And David was able to write these Psalms and was able to write these songs. And he was only able to do this because of the life lessons that he had learned and because of the experiences in his life. So God said, David, you write the book of Psalms. This is going to be your legacy. You know the Psalms of David are still quoted today. The Psalms of David are still sung today. There are words that out of the book of Psalms that we have in our own song books today that we sing. And the contribution that David made to the world through the words of the book of the Psalms of David are still thought about, are still admired, and are still respected today. Everlasting results that David did that God allowed him to do. Even though he said, you can't build a temple. You can't do the one great thing you want to do, David, but I have many great things for you to do. One of them is the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms is still something that's very important to us today. Now, Let's contrast this to the great work that Solomon did in the building of this magnificent house, the temple of God. And it was a magnificent structure, and it was overlaid with gold and silver. It was a beautiful monument to the Almighty God. But yet there's not one stone left upon another today that even tells us where this temple was. It has been totally, absolutely, and completely destroyed. The temple of Solomon, the temple that Solomon built to God and for God, is completely lost in history. But the Psalms of David are still regarded and respected today. God's greatest promise of the covenant was the fulfillment of the covenant. Speaking of the house which Christ built, that also still stands today. David's Psalms still stand. And the house that Jesus built with his own blood, the kingdom, the church, is also still fully standing, very much alive even today. But the great house that Solomon built is gone. Not a stone left standing. David was very pleased with the covenant that God made with him because of the intentions of David, because his heart was right, and because David wanted to do something for God. And God was very pleased with this, and he blessed him in the things that he did in this covenant that he made with him. God also blessed David in another way here in this covenant. He said, David, you can't build the house. But he said, your son will be allowed to build the house that you wanted to build. So the son, Solomon, would be able to do it in the stead of his father. So David said, let my son build a house, let him have the glory, let it be evermore associated with his name. And I think that David was probably more humbled and probably more pleased that his son was able to get the glory and the recognition for this, even more pleased than if David had been allowed to do it before. You know, we've all got children. And we all stay up late when our children are gone, and we all get up early, and we go to work, and we do everything we can to provide for our children, because when we leave, the legacy that we want to leave is that our children will have things better than we had it. And I believe that God has proven the age-old adage here, is that the honor of the son is the honor of the father multiplied 100-fold. And I think probably this was one of the greatest things that God did for David in this covenant, is that David was allowed to give his son Solomon the glory for this temple. And the honor of the father is multiplied 100 times when his kids are successful. You know, there was another result of this covenant that we often don't think about that I think is very, very important. And that was because there was time to do this job. David was in the process of gathering together the material, to making the plans, to laying back the money, so that he could finance this temple. And because it was work was not hurried, because it was something that didn't have to be done right now, there was time to build the temple of God. Everything had to be done before Solomon's time was ready. And because there was a delay in the building of the temple, no one was robbed. No one was oppressed. Taxes were not raised to an exorbitant level so that this money might be raised at one time so that the temple could be built. But it was able to be done at a leisurely path, a leisurely pace over a period of years. And the poor man was not trodden on. He was not oppressed by the taxes that were oppressive so that money might be raised for the temple. The stones were not cemented together with the tears and the blood of a common working individual. And when this temple was finally built and the temple was finally dedicated, when Solomon was finally able to dedicate it, there was nothing but hallelujahs from the people. There were no curses because there was no oppression. The people were not oppressed by the building of the temple. So there was enough time that elapsed that preparations could be made so that no one was hurt by the building of this magnificent and tremendously expensive temple. And now we've reached the last part of the covenant that God made with David. The covenant that God made with David went far beyond the thoughts and far beyond the highest aspirations of David. They went far beyond what David would ever have ventured to ask for, because God promised him that he would establish his throne forever in his seed. David simply wanted to build a temple, a monument for God, because he felt he had it so good in his fine house of cedar, realizing that God lived in tents. This was the only hope of David. This was his only aspiration, was to build something for God. And because he was sincere in his intentions, now God has given him far more than he ever thought about asking for. God says that thy days will be fulfilled. Look heavenward and see how wonderfully the promise has been fulfilled. And of course, we realize now, and the Bible tells us that from Jesus, or from David, or as our reading tonight said, from the root of Jesse, the father of David, the Messiah of mankind was born from the seed and the genealogy. And the son of David, Jesus Christ, now sits at the right hand of the majesty on high. The son of David is now seated on the throne, which is surrounded by a rainbow, and all power in heaven and on earth has been committed to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the son of David, even as God has promised in his covenant. So the greatest part of God's covenant with David was Jesus Christ, the new kingdom, the new house, the new spiritual way of reconciliation and salvation. So, the covenant of God that was made with David, that required nothing of David, was a three-part. I'm going to give you the land for the Israelites. I'm going to give you a son that will be able to carry out the duty that you were unable to do. And from your seed and from your genealogy will come the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And thus concludes my study tonight. We'll now have a song of invitation. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as we sing.